Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. This is Catherine Creston with Beyond Words Live. This show is designed to be a platform for survivors to tell their story in their own words. Without further ado, let's see who our guest is today.
Excuse me. Today we have Rose Smith, who is the creator, organizer, and host of several community events that provide a platform to bring people closer together and help shine light on those doing great work in our communities. Some of her events are the Desire to Inspire Women's Empowerment Brunch, William D. Jones Memorial Basketball Tournament, Community Easter Egg Hunt, Back to School Drive, which are free supplies given to students, Meet the Author Extravaganza, showcasing Texas authors and poets, and a Thanksgiving Drive. She loves life and is fueled by the desire to maximize her potential and that of anyone around her. And I know that to be a fact. A hard work ethic and a desire to learn and teach flow through her veins. As a life coach, she focuses on the personal truth and self-examination because it is her belief that real change must start on the inside of us. Good morning, Rose. How are you today?
Good morning, Catherine. I am wonderful. I'm ecstatic to be here. How are you?
Oh, I am ecstatic as well. That's a great word for today.
Thank you so much for having me on. I've definitely looked forward to doing this, and I am just excited to be here, and hopefully that we have some people listening and we'll be able to lighten up someone's day
yes.
And just encourage people to continue to do right by each other. So,
absolutely. Well, let's begin by just really starting about where did you get all this excitement and enthusiasm to begin with for everything that you do? What inspired you to begin with? What did you start? Where was your beginning?
First of all, giving honor to God and my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, my faith is definitely in Him, but it was definitely my upbringing. My grandparents, my parents were very hard workers. They instilled in us to be hard workers, but most importantly, they instilled in us to treat others as we wanted to be treated. And I don't know how to not help anyone. I don't know how to not encourage others to be better. It's part of my DNA. I mean, I really, sometimes my husband says, someone will start telling me an idea or something that they're thinking about doing, and he'll see the wheels turning, and he'll say, Rose, just listen. And I'm listening, but I'm thinking, well, you need to do that. You need to act on it right now. Don't wait. Do it while the fire is burning, and just encourage them. And what can I do to help you? And that's just kind of the mold that I'm made of. And there is so many of us that can do so much more. And, a lot of times people think that it's all about money. It's not about money. It's about the desire to serve, the desire to support, and the desire to see other people around us maximizing their potential. And I just love to see people excel. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how old they are, how young they are. I just like to see people doing better. And for me, that is a life high. And so I wake up every morning just excited. As a matter of fact, when I wake up, my prayer has been for years, God, allow me to help those that need my help today. And over the last year or so, my prayer started to change to help me to see those people you put in my path that need my help, because a lot of times He places people in our lives that need our help, but we're so busy worrying about the things we're doing or so self-contained that we don't see others. And so that has been my thing. And so with that, the energy just comes. It's just like, oh, there's something else to do. Let me see if I can help here, or let me get these people together here. So That's just the way I've been all my life. I don't think, I mean, it's funny because when I talk to people that I went to high school with or college, they all say you're still doing the same thing. And so, you know, it's just it's really refreshing to know that I really am living out my purpose. This is definitely what I was created to do. And it's okay to be a servant. A lot of people don't want to take that title. And, you know, there are some things that I have founded, but I just serve people. You know, I serve God and I serve people, and I'm all right with that. So
absolutely.
That's it for me.
Don't you just love the sparkle in their eyes when they're being a help in some way, or they get another glimmer of hope or just another, you know, idea turned because you've inserted a new twist to what they were thinking about, perhaps, or
absolutely,
you know, it's just like, oh my gosh, the dance of the sparkles.
Yes, exactly. And it's just like, I'm just sitting back like, you know, so I'm more excited than they are because I'm thinking, you know, had we not have had a conversation, or had they not attended a meeting, or had they not have went to an event where someone else at that event, you know, touched them or ignited something inside them, that they wouldn't be where they are now. And so, yes, it's absolutely. I mean, to me, it's just, like I said, you see, I get excited just talking about it. I just can't tell you. There's no better feeling. There's no better feeling.
Right. There isn't. I just really enjoyed that feeling as well. You know, just as an advocate to begin with.
Exactly.
It's just so exciting.
Absolutely.
Very exciting.
Absolutely.
What was the first organization that you did? Organized event. What started the ball rolling with all these different events?
Well, I tell you that what started everything was over 5 years ago. Actually, it'll be over 5 years ago. The Vision of Roses, which is the organization I founded 5 years ago, which stands for Reaching Out, Supporting Every Sister, and that came from. Like I said, it was just birthed from the way that I was raised and taught to live my life, that you help if you could. And the older that I got, especially when I went to college, I realized that there were so many people that are just out for themselves, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it hardened me a little bit in my college years. And I was just like, well, you know, I'm out here looking out for everyone. And it seems like I'm being, you know, taken advantage of or used at some point. Mm-hmm. To where just, you know, when they can no longer benefit from what I have or what I'm doing, that I don't see them anymore. And that still happens now, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But at that time, being a young woman, I started thinking, oh, my God, you know, I'm not prepared for this. You know, this little country girl from Luland, I am not ready to receive what these people are doing out here in this world. And so, you know, as I grew up and went through things and became a single mother, and I'm raising my kids by myself, and then my wonderful husband comes into my life and things started to form, I realized that the way I was raised to live life, that is exactly the way I should continue to do it, and that I shouldn't try to fit in. And so that's where Roses came about. And Reaching Out, Supporting Every Sister is just meeting people exactly where they are. So many of us... you will see a person, and depending on where they are in life or what they look like or what they have, we decide whether or not we're going to engage with that person. And so Roses was designed to reach out to anyone, no matter what walk of life they're in, and that's what the platform was going to be. And myself and my family, my mother, my sisters, my daughters, and my nieces are all part of the core board and member group of Roses that founded this. And our first event, our very first event was actually just introducing ourselves to the community, letting them know what we're going to do, explaining to the community exactly what I've just explained to you and your listeners this morning, and just kind of letting everybody know that they matter. And that was the first event. We had it held. We held it at a park. We gave away prizes. We had food, and we just fed and anyone that came through. We had entertainment. We had all types of things, and that was our launch out into the community. And the first event that we actually had was our community Easter egg hunt. And the reason we did that is because back in the day, we always had an Easter egg hunt. We had one at church. My grandmother always had one for us at our home. And it was always so much fun. And as I grew up, I was like, God, there's no Easter egg hunts. There was nowhere for me to take our kids. So we always did an Easter egg hunt with the children in our family. And so we decided to do one for the community, and it was a huge success. And so this year we'll make our fifth year of doing that. And last year we had over 100 children that were there for the Easter egg hunt, and we expect more this year. So it just goes to show you that you can make a difference with just the smallest of an idea, because there were parents that were bringing their kids, and they told us, we thank you for doing this because we didn't have money to do anything for Easter. We couldn't do the things or buy the Easter baskets or any of the things that a lot of the children get. And so they came to ours and they got Easter eggs, they got candy, they got refreshments, they got prizes, and the family, the mothers and fathers came out with them, and they have a sense of pride because they're doing it as a family together. They don't have to feel bad because they weren't able to do it because the children got what they weren't able to provide. And for me, that's a blessing for us. I get blessed more by this than they do because I'm able to fill a void for someone that wasn't able to do something for their children. So that was actually our first event. And then the second one, of course, went into the back-to-school drive, which we also do like a garage sale type thing. We invite vendors and families to come out, and they get their tables. Everything they sell is theirs, and that kind of came from helping families be able to have money to buy school clothes and school supplies and things that the children need as the school year starts. And you know, because people just need a little time. Things are so expensive these days, and of course we do provide free school supplies, and those were our first two events, and we have continued those events for the last 5 years, and we will continue to do that because those are near and dear to my heart. So everything else just was just a spinoff of that. I saw a need, whether it was the desire to inspire empowerment brunch. Every time we had a small event or a small workshop or a meeting, there were women that said, you know, I need help with this, or I need more women in my life as encouragement. And so as I hear from these women that come to and talk to me or message me or email me, then I get together and I say, well, what can we do to help this person? Because if it's one person, I know there's more than one person that needs the same type of. And so that's just kind of the way it has went, and it just kind of snowballed into all the events that we have, and I look forward to each and every one of them. I mean, I really do.
Oh, absolutely. And I can't emphasize enough how inspiring your events are. I went as a vendor for the voter registration.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you. Well, and I'm looking forward to being there again this year, too.
Yes, absolutely.
But George and I both left feeling like you're doing such a huge service to the community, and it's so inspiring. And just talking to the other people, like when we broke down into the little groups and stuff, and hearing some of the stories from these women, I am just like, oh, my God. You know, they're just phenomenal stories. Being an oral historian type person anyway, I am just enthralled by, you know, different stories to begin with, you know, which is the premise of doing my show to begin with. But, you know, I just get so inspired hearing these people's stories, and I wanted to like give them my name and number to everyone. call me.
Exactly.
You're my new best friend.
And the thing about that, Catherine, is that all of us have a story. And as an author, I tell people that I have new authors that always come to me and they say, you know, I've been wanting to write a book, and I say, write it. You know, and they kind of look at me like, you don't even know what I want to write about. It doesn't matter. We all have a story, and we can all, and all of our stories need to be told because it will inspire someone else. It will encourage someone else that might be going through the very same thing that we've been through, and they need encouragement to know that they can get through it. And so it's just important. And so I'm one of those people that I never meet a stranger. I talk to everyone, you know, and my husband is the same way. And my kids always say, is it anybody that y'all don't know? Because everywhere we go, we're talking to people. But when
right.
we talk and we take the time to engage and communicate with each other, it's just like you said.
Mm-hmm.
You sit down for a couple minutes at an event where you had never seen this person before, and they start to talk, and you're like, oh, my God, I want to give them my number, and I want to be, you know, I want to be able to hear more, and I want to be able to spend more time with this person. And that really is the way we should live our lives, that when we get those feelings, we should, you know, because we never know how our lives can connect and what can come out of it just by reaching out and listening or talking to someone, you know, that needs the conversation, you know. So I just, yeah, like I said, I'm really looking forward to the Desire to Inspire Women's Empowerment Brunch this year. It's going to be huge, even better than the years before. And I, you know, I say it every year that it's always really good, but this year it's going to be even better. So I'm definitely looking forward.
I am seeing the numbers on there, and I'm like really impressed and really enthralled and excited, you know, to see the growth of this. And I really appreciate too that you're reaching so much into the Black community, because, and that's, you know, why we're talking this month in particular, because of Black History Month. And
yes, it is.
And I've done other interviews with Black women who say that one of the culture barriers of Black women is that they don't feel like they can share their story. And I just really want to get the message out that they can. And, you know, we are wanting to hear their stories. And I don't know how we can express this enough, but, and I just really are impressed with everything that you do to try to reach in that community and really empower them.
Right. Well, thank you so much. And I couldn't agree more. Recently in July of 2014, I founded Black Women in Business. And that Black Women in Business, It definitely came at a much needed time. A lot of the women feel the same way as I do, that that we are having to kick down barriers just to be able to be seen. You know, it doesn't matter about the education that we might have. It doesn't matter about our past work experience or how good we might be in our craft or the industry that we serve in. It seems like if we are up against anyone, you know, of a different race, and I'll just be very, very honest. A lot of times, it is, you know, the white race, that if we are against them, that we are automatically second rate. And so, Black Women in Business was designed to encourage, support, uplift Black women in business, whether they have a business already, whether they are in the process of starting a business, whether that is something they want to do, they don't know how to do it, and then also for women that are in corporate America, but they just want to be able to receive the promotions that they think they should deserve, or whatever it is that they're looking for, we want to be able to give them that. And I'll be very honest with you that even with me starting Black Women in Business, I got some flack from people because for some reason in society, people think about when you say that I want to say this to anyone that's listening. By me saying that I'm pro-Black, it does not mean that I'm anti any other race.
Exactly.
It does not mean that. And I want everybody listening today to understand that, because what I'm saying is I simply want Black people to have the same opportunities, have the same respect, have the same justice as any other race. That's what I want. Mm-hmm. And you know, we are being foolish if we say that it's an even playing field, because we know that's not true. And so my whole my whole platform as a life coach is to simply make people think. And I had this very conversation with a Facebook friend a couple weeks ago on a post that I had made, and they were talking about some things, and I said, my whole thing is to make people think. Because if you start thinking about, well, why do I feel this way? Well, why did I do that? You start thinking about it, then sometimes your actions actually change. And one of my favorite scriptures is Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what that simply means is that once you start changing the way you think, then your actions change with it. And no matter what we do in life, we thought about it first, you know. And so I just work, you know, to that. And so when we talk about black women, black women, black men in general, there are a lot of barriers that we face, you know. And there, and in order for us to be able to change it, that we have to talk about it. So I applaud you and your effort. I applaud you for this platform and giving us an opportunity to discuss it, because there are so many people that shy away from that, you know. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the conversation is brought up, well, then, like I said before, that I must be prejudiced against any other race because I'm saying pro-black. No, I'm saying that there's still some things we need to overcome, and I am willing to serve and work in the community to help make those changes, you know, help make those things go away so that there isn't a more even playing field. So thank you for all that you do. You know, I really appreciate this opportunity, again, as in Black History Month, just starting, and we're kicking it off. I was ecstatic to know that, you know, you were welcoming me onto the show because this is something I'm so passionate about.
And you know, as a white woman myself, you know, I don't feel any different at your event.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
I feel very welcomed. I feel just as one as, you know, with anybody that's in attendance there. I've never felt any kind of slightness or anything like that. It was just, I just felt so comfortable. I felt like at home.
Oh, God, thank you. I'm so glad to hear that, because that's what I want everybody. You know, and that's who I am. It's part of my, you know, it's to make people feel welcome. You know, people, no matter where we go, you want to feel welcome. And it does, and the color of our skin should have nothing to do with it, you know.
Exactly.
And so I'm so happy to hear you say that. Yes, I thank you.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, we should all do all kinds of events together. I mean, it's not like just East Austin or West Austin or, you know.
Right.
Heck, you know, we're all people and we all have common goals. And we all need to be empowered in some way, somehow. You know, if it's not the racism, there's sometimes there's oppression in other ways, you know.
Right.
You know, female versus male, you know, in the workforce,
right,
or something. You know, there's
absolutely
always somebody that has to be in power and has to be in control. And when that happens, then there's oppression elsewhere. That's
exactly
just the way it is.
Exactly.
And,
exactly,
you know, if we can get, like, somehow an agreement of, you know, that we empower everybody, not just a select few, that we are not seeing ourselves as any more powerful than another person. You know, it's how can you say that more? I mean, it's just like we be more unified.
You know, I, Catherine, I don't think it's so much as how can we say it. I think we have to do it. You know, we have to show. I think that is what it is. And so, you know, I have really become a, you know, and that's where I think a lot, well, I don't think, that's why I know that there why I have so many events and there's so many things that I try to get involved with, because it doesn't matter what color anyone is that I'm involved in. And I've had some people ask me, you know, I've had black people ask me, why are you doing that, when it became something that I was doing with a white person or an Hispanic person or an Asian person. They were like, why are you doing that? And I'm like, well, why shouldn't I? Where are you coming from with this?
Because where is the inclusivity? You know,
So
in order
to be inclusive, you got to lead by example.
Yeah.
You have to lead by example. And so I'm not interested. I mean, I love communication, and I always say that if we can't discuss racism, we definitely can't erase it. I'm all for us talking about it, but I'm more so for seeing action. And, you know, and just to branch on it, like, you know, Black Lives Matter, we hear that, and, you know, we see people tagging it and on Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that, but Black lives really do matter. And, you know, there has been a lot of senseless killings, there has been injustice in black families and communities, and you know, there's been so many senseless killings right here in Austin and the surrounding cities and counties, and people, some people don't want us to even vocalize it. They don't want us to mention it. That, you know, they want to just kind of act as though it didn't happen. You know, but personally, I mean, my family has experienced this up close and personal with the murder of my cousin, Yvette Smith. You know, she was the beautiful woman that was shot and killed at home by a Bastrop County Sheriff's deputy last February.
Oh, wow.
So we know what this type of stuff does. And she was at home. There was no weapon. She came to the door and she was shot and killed. And so, you know, until you have walked in those shoes, until you stood next to a mother who has lost a son or a daughter or a child who has lost a father or a mother, until you have heard those gut-wrenching cries, until you have had that heart, your heart just feel like it's just been ripped out of you by something so senseless. And, you know, and the thing about it is, you don't have to know those people. You don't have to live in the same state with those people. As a mother, you know, my heart goes out anytime I hear a mother say that, know or hear a mother say their child was killed for something so senseless. You know, and I think Benjamin Franklin's quote really sums it up, you know, the best, that, you know, justice will never be served until those who are unaffected are as outraged as those who are. You know, and that's what I mean by our actions. We have to speak out. We have to stand in numbers, and stand against, you know, things like this, because, you know, demonstration always makes a better conversation. I've been saying that for years, and it does. And so movements like what you're doing, you know, the platform for us to be able to speak and join forces, you and I and everyone else that will come and speak and listen together, you know, this is what's needed. And I thank you for taking the action, because you're taking an action every day to do exactly what we're talking about. So I just applaud you. I applaud you in all your community involvement and everything that you're doing to serve and help and to make sure that people vote, because a vote is our voice. And it does matter. And so, you know, I'm just equally, I'm just as big a fan as you are, of you as anyone else. So I thank you.
Aww,
I do.
Well,
I'm
thank you.
About
thank
that because, you. You know, I tell people I don't get starstruck. You know, I'm not one of those people that's the flip. No, I can go. I'm one of those people, if I go to a concert, I'm trying to find a way to get to talk to the person, because I really want to see exactly who they are, really. You know,
The celebrities
for me are people that I see every day that are making a difference in the corner of the world that they live in. Those are celebrities. You know, they don't need the platform. Mm-hmm. They don't need the paparazzi. They want to just do what they can do. They want to maximize their potential, and they want to make the world better. And that's their legacy. And, you know, and that's what I'm excited about. I'm excited about people getting excited about life and living it to the best of their potential. And you're definitely doing that, and I thank you for that.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that this morning.
it's very much deserved.
Oh, well, thank you. But, you know, you talk about action, and there's a reason why I twisted the hashtag Black Lives Matter to Black Voices Matter was because it entices action, you know, people speaking out. So that's why I changed the hashtag for this theme of this month is Black Voices Matter. Because they do.
Absolutely.
You know, the lives do matter, and I'm not discounting that at all, but, you know, I think it does need a movement from just, you know, remembering to speaking out about it, you know? You have to be able to speak out of it. And, you know, what better way of speaking out is your own voice? It doesn't cost you a dime.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
You can have a platform wherever you want. You know, just being able to share that voice and express it in whatever way. You know, sometimes it might be poetry. Sunny Soper is a fine example of poetry that is done, you know, that is very impactful when she does her poetry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's so many fine examples, but, you know, speaking out whenever you can, the poetry, the writing a book, you know, whatever it takes, get out there and do it.
Exactly.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, when you think of the term advocate or activist, what does that mean to you? How do you identify with that kind of terminology?
Well, when I hear advocate, of course, you know, I think, you know, you're for it. You're an advocate. You're that's what you represent. That's what you you go along with. Activists. It's and let me just say this in my mind. You know, there's a difference in being an advocate and being an activist. Because an advocate say, you know, I'm for this. You know, I'm pro this, and you know, but never act upon it. They're just saying it. And an activist in my mind is someone that not that they're showing you that they are for this by acting on it. You know, if I'm, and I'll just use the voting for example, that, you know, that I can say that I am for this candidate, and the way that I act upon it is to vote for them. Because just saying that I'm for them and never casting a vote is not doing them much good to get them into office. So, you know, there's, you know, so there's a difference, you know, with, you know, advocate. And I always, and it's funny that you even asked me that question, because I always ask people, you know, say, well, I'm an advocate. Okay, well, you're an advocate, but are you an activist? What are you doing to help that platform? What are you doing to make sure that that comes into a reality? What are you doing to promote this or whatever the case may be? So, you know, I often challenge people on that, and some people get offended, and it's okay. I don't get my feelings hurt easily. But, you know, we have to start calling people out on stuff. You know, it's just like I hear people talking about, oh, I don't like this and I don't like this, whether it's the governor, whether it's the president, whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, did you vote? Okay, if you didn't vote, I really don't want to entertain this conversation right now, because you had the power to voice your opinion, not only opinion, but voice where you stand and make a difference. And, oh, well, it's just one vote. No, but you don't know how many of those one votes make, you know, make a difference. And so, I'm just all about the activists, you know. And so that's why I say I'm a community activist. I like to know what's going on in the community. If I can help, I will help. If I can't help, I will find someone that can, as far as the things that they're looking for. And we just have to network and connect with each other to make things happen if we are true advocates of whatever it is that we might be doing. We just have to make it happen. So, yeah, that's my little definition of those two words.
Well, and you mentioned before meeting people where they are, and that is so important. But yet, at the same token, I think it's important to light a fire some way, somehow, because that's what inspires ideas. You know, if you ask them, well, what are you doing about that? They may not know the answer right then.
Right.
But you better believe it that their wheels will start spinning and think, you know, and it might not be that day, that week, you know, that month even, but eventually those wheels are going to spin into some kind of an action.
Right.
However small of an action it is, it's going to be an action. And exactly. From that small action, it gets getting bigger. I tell
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
You know, you
exactly.
and I both know that. You know, we do little things at first and, you know, oh, well, that was good. Yeah, let's
yes.
try this now.
Let's try this. Exactly. Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree with you. And when, you know, and the thing about meeting people where they are, and one of the things mm-hmm. I mean about that, and I say this a lot, especially with, you know, Christians and churchgoers, that, mm-hmm. You know, when we are inside those walls, those people inside those walls, we all, for the most part, are sharing one common belief, and we're trying to live based on the same principles of the Bible. And so when we come out of those walls, and now we're dealing with people that might not know, might not understand. And so we mm-hmm. have to be able to humble ourselves and remember where we were before we were, you know, wherever we are in our Christian lives, that we have to be able to relate to someone and be able to talk to them, because we might not share where they are in life. We might not have any common characteristics to what they're going through or where they are. But bottom line is, we all have been hurt. We've all been in places where we'd rather not be, as far as our livelihood or the person that we are. We've all experienced hurt and pain. So what mm-hmm. I do is, whenever I see someone that, you know, whether it's in an addiction, whether it's homelessness, whether it's, you know, dealing with children that are going through things, whether it's, you know, marital problems, whatever it is that people that I'm talking to are going through, I just remember that I know what it feels like to be hurting. And with that, I'm able to talk to them as though I've always been knowing them. And when we do that and we allow people to just talk and share their stories, then they feel like they matter. And that is the mm-hmm. key to us
Absolutely.
Changing anything in this world that is negative. We have to understand that all of us matter. We have to treat each other that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we meet someone where they are, you know, I've been at events where people might come in and they might not be dressed the way someone else feels like they should dress, and because of that, they don't interact with them. They don't acknowledge them. They don't give them any eye contact. They don't shake their hands. They don't greet them the same
mm-hmm.
way that they greet people that might look, walk, talk, or act like them. And so you have just told that person that they don't matter.
Exactly.
Now, if they came. To your event, or they came to church, or they came, or they saw you somewhere, and you were the person that they were looking at and hoping that someone will just make me feel like I matter, you just lost your opportunity. And not only that, you know, now when you're going and you're saying, well, this is who I am, people are saying, no, it's not, because this is the way they treated me. You know, so
mm-hmm.
the meeting people where they are and just understanding that all of us, I mean, the thing that humbles me and keeps me going every day, Catherine, is to know that tomorrow I can be in anyone's shoes that I'm trying to help today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and with that, it just keeps me humble, and it keeps me excited and willing to help any way that I can, because none of us know who we're going to need or what's going to happen to us before we leave here. So it's to me, that's just enough to humble me to do whatever it is that needs to be done. And so that's why I kind of end up doing as many things as I do, because there's just so much work to be done, and we all just need to get excited and do what we can, and it'll make a huge difference.
Absolutely. And you're right, you know, we don't know day from day, you know, if our house will accidentally burn down somehow,
right.
you know, that leaves us homeless and, you know, or stranded.
Exactly.
And, you know, and that feeling of strandedness is, by a lot of people in a lot of different scenarios, and, you know, just being with them, being, you know, in tune with,
yes,
and understanding and having the empathy for them is tremendous, because you would that if you were in their shoes as well.
Exactly.
Do as, what is it, do as unto others as you would like to do unto yourself?
Exactly.
Something
exactly.
Like that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. That old golden rule, as they call it, you know.
Exactly.
And so, you know, so, that's what it comes down to. And the thing about it is that when I think about, you know, my journey and the things that I've went through, you know, like I said, I shared with you, I was a single mother for 14 years. And
yeah.
So when a single mother comes to me and talks about, you know, the struggles and the
mm-hmm.
hardships and different things, I can relate. And I can also share my testimony, and I can share with her the things that I did that helped me and my children be okay during those times, you know. And so because I'm able to pour something into her and to give her encouragement on that level, then she's okay. But if I come to, like, I'm married now, so if this lady came to me and shared her story and I never said anything about ever being a single mother,
mm-hmm.
You know, I've lost my opportunity.
Because exactly.
if I don't share that with her, she will not know, because she knows that I'm married now. So it's just the things that we're willing to open ourselves up and share with those that need to hear it. And you know, you know, we always hear people talk about that's their testimony. Well, in order to have a testimony, you have to be put through a test. So that's
exactly.
why it's important for us to share our testimony, is because someone can see that you were put to the test and you made it out, you survived, and you passed that on as encouragement for others. And so anything that and hope, absolutely. And
yeah.
anything that I try to do, whether it's one-on-ones with coaching or writing my books or events or whatever it is, or
mm-hmm.
meetings or workshops, I just try to bring that into everything that I do, because, I mean, it's who I am. So I can change that. But I don't want to. And I tell people I would never change that, because I really want it, like I said, when I'm gone, I just, as long as people know that I love to serve people, and I died trying to make a difference in the world that I lived in. That's all that matters. And that's what I tell my children all the time, that, you know, I want you guys to serve others. I want you to see and hear the people that need help and hear the voices that are asking for help. And if you can help them, I want you to help. And that's the way we raise our kids, and I just think that the world would be a better place if all of us did that, you know, as opposed
Absolutely.
To raising our kids and making them think that they are privileged and they don't, you know, they don't have to interact with people of this financial status or, you know, whatever the status quo is that we're wanting them to measure up to. I think the world would be in a lot better place, because our younger generation is our future. And so we have to do a better job as parents instilling in them the right morals and values. And so that's kind of where I stand with that.
Exactly. And then you mentioned, you know, the example of being a single parent, and that transcends a lot of things, you know, especially,
right.
you know, it doesn't
yeah.
matter what color you are, what,
exactly.
what class level you are, or, you know,
you
what country you're coming from, or anything.
Mm-hmm.
We all experience that. And, you know, of course, the experience may be slightly different because we're influenced
right.
by different factors through our lives, but we share that common thread. And that's
right.
why we want to share our voices and not be, you know, restrictive to, you know, just sharing it in your community. Share it beyond, you know, share it so that
yes.
other people, you know, other single parents, for example, will understand. Other people that have been in a domestic violence situation will understand. Other people that have been
right.
in a sexual assault, you know, I could go on and
yes.
on. You know, but,
Absolutely.
You know, everybody needs to, you know, share their voice and be among the others and say, you know, here I am.
Right. Exactly. I mean, I totally agree with you that, you know, we always hear sharing is caring, and that is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we share our voices and our stories and our journeys with others, we're showing them that we care about them and we care about what they're going through at this particular time. And just like you said, we're offering them some hope that they're going to get through this too. And so, I just get so fired up and excited whenever I have an opportunity to talk about this, and hopefully someone is listening to us today and thinking, you know, I can do more and I can do better and I have something to offer and I'm going to be okay. And this, you know, that I am, you know, I'm bigger than my circumstances, and I'm hoping that all those things are going through the minds of the people that are listening to us today, because that's what it's all about. And you know, I believe that we are able to do anything that we believe we can do and that we're willing to do the work to do it. So I'm just optimistic that way. I don't know how to be any other way. And I just, you know, I just hope the best for all of us, you know, as an entity, that we all start to understand and either it start with wanting to understand, you know,
mm-hmm.
each other, you know, because
exactly.
sometimes people don't even want to understand. They just don't even have any interest in even hearing anything. You know, they're so closed-minded. So I just always pray that people will open their minds and open their hearts and receive, you know, those around them and the stories around them and embrace those that need to be embraced. You know, and
absolutely.
A lot of times people just need a shoulder or to cry on. They need a hug. They need a smile. And those things are underrated. You know, I tell people all the time, they're like, oh, well, I'm like, smile. What do I have to smile about? Well, you know, things could be a lot worse, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's just the simple things that we take for granted. And those are all just part of those. All those things are just part of my platform, you know, just, you know, it's something that starts on the inside of us. And if you keep pouring enough good stuff into a person, eventually good stuff starts to come out, you know, and we just have to continue to practice that every day. And sure, life in the world will challenge us, you know, but we just have to keep pressing forward. And and that's just my belief. Yeah.
Well, my heart is so big. I don't see color. I don't see race. You know, I just don't see that. And it really disheartened me when one of my guests said, and she was a black activist up in Dallas, and she was saying that the black women just don't feel like in their culture that they can share their voice. And I was like, oh, no, this cannot be true.
We've
got to change that. We've got to change that.
You know what? I'll be very, very honest with you, Catherine. You know, I'm just, you know, my platform is truth and self-examination, you know. For us, you know, you got to accept your own truth, and you've got to be able to examine yourself and see why you feel the way you feel, why you act the way you act, you know, all those things. And so I'll be honest with you, that I totally agree with the activist from Dallas, because a lot of black women are hesitant to say how they feel because they are afraid of being judged. Me, on the other hand, my grandfather has always told me, said, from day one, he used to tell me, I was always the one that was always saying this. My mom was like, do it because I said. So I always want to know why. Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to do it like that? And so, you know, you don't do that. You don't do that. So my grandfather used to always tell me, you have a voice. You just have to learn how to use it. You have to learn how to ask the questions. You have to learn how to, you know, what tone to use and things like that. And he was so patient, not with just me, but with all of us, that now I make no excuse for voicing my opinion. And a lot of times, especially, and I'll just call it out and say what it is, especially with Facebook, I will express something and not even in a derogatory manner, because I, like I said, I was raised to do this, but I will say something. It can just be totally my thought, my opinion, and I'll say it's my opinion. And usually I get challenged by those that are not black. And
really?
I often ask them, how can you tell me about this situation that we're talking about if you've never lived as a black woman in this world.
Right.
So my opinion is going to be different from that of yours. And I've never understood why anyone would be offended by me voicing my opinion about my own race. whether it's, we need to do better as a people to support each other. I don't understand I can't tell you about being a white woman because I'm not a white woman.
Right.
I can't tell you that. All I can speak on is what I know. And so how I feel and how I've been treated, how my family's been treated, those type of things. Those are the things that I can speak on when it comes to being a black woman. And the thing about that is that a lot of, and I think it's just the thought process that has been placed on us down through the years, through our ancestors, that, we were made to feel that there were certain things we couldn't say, we couldn't do, we had to kind of stay in our place, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And, I always struggle with that because I'm just like, my ancestors fought and died for us to have certain rights that we have, and I'm going to utilize all the time. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to get more than anybody else. I just want to have the same rights, opportunities, and I want the black people to have the same rights and opportunities that any other race has. And there is nothing wrong with saying that. I'll go back and say, I'm not saying that I don't want a white person, an Asian person, a Hispanic person. I don't want any of the other races to not have those same opportunities. I just want the black people to be, like I said, even the playing field to where when we walk in, when we show up, it's not they see color first.
Yeah. And I wish that would happen for everybody. I don't see that. I just don't.
Yeah.
That's just not in my makeup. I see everybody for their individual selves.
And that's the way we should all do it. That's just it. There are so many races that walk the face of this earth, and there's no reason why we can't get along. There's no reason why we shouldn't accept each other. There's no reason why we cannot coexist in the same world and be cordial to each other and respectful of each other. And the only reason we're not is because we choose not to be.
Right.
And all I challenge people to do is to choose better.
Yeah, absolutely. So specifically in the culture, and we're all trying to understand each other, but
absolutely.
Specifically in the black culture, what is it that is for the black woman not to be able to speak out? What is it, just the male being that more dominant in the family household?
I'm not just going to limit it to black women. I think black men, the black population as a whole, don't voice their opinions as much as they can. I have lots of conversations with people that will come to me one-on-one and say, oh, Rose, I'm so glad that you said that because they, this is the way I feel. And I'm like, but why? Okay, well, thank you for coming and telling me that, but why didn't you say it if that's the way you felt?
Right, yeah.
I don't know that it's I don't know. I don't think it's anything having to do with anything that the black women are suppressed by, the black men telling us, making us feel that we can't voice our opinion. I don't think that's it at all.
Okay,
I just think at least from what I'm seeing, that's not from the corner of the world that I'm in. I don't get that a lot. What I do see is the idea of, if I say this, I'm going to be judged for this. What a little bit I have might be taken away from, for instance, in the job, job force. My last job in corporate America, I was the only African-American in the company that was in the executive part of the business. And I was 20 years younger than any of the other ones in the executive branch with me. And so it, there, I mean, it was all around me. It was, okay, first of all, I could see that some people were just, well, you know, why is she here? You know, now, thank God the owner of the company was the person that hired me, and he knew why I was there, and they eventually found out. But but I could just see that there was all, I almost had to prove myself that it wasn't enough that the owner of the company hired me to fill this position, that I had to prove myself to people that were my equal. You know, and that's mm-hmm. what we see more of, that we have to prove that we are able to do this. We don't get the same opportunities or the same benefits because, you know, we have to look at, do a certain thing. You know, you can't be too black. You know, one lady I was talking to earlier in the week had said that someone had said, she kind of wore her hair out, a natural, you know, kind of like the Afro type thing, and mm-hmm. wore it out, and that someone said that they felt intimidated by it. And this was someone that was their, you know, an admin, that they felt intimidated any time that they saw a black person that wore their hair like that. Now, first of all.
Really? Wow.
Yes, first of all, why would you feel like you can say that?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, what are you intimidated about? That's the way she chose to. I mean, you, and so these are the types of things that we are exposed to, you know, and the more vocal you are. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't get a lot of stuff like that because people know exactly where I stand. If you come to me, you better be with some foolishness. You better be ready to have a conversation with me. So,
right.
And that's why I encourage people to voice, let people know where you stand. The more you just kind of mm-hmm. blend in and just kind of let people say and do whatever around you, the more you're going to be exposed to that type of thing. And so
mm-hmm.
I think that's I think that's what the lady in Dallas might have been referring to, is that that sometimes our voices don't seem to matter. I won't say that they don't matter, but they don't seem to matter as much. And so that's why we have to keep pressing, and we have to keep pushing, and we have to stick together, and we have to unify, not just with other black women, but with people in general. And they're just like you and I have bonded, and we're uniting, and we're together on this
mm-hmm.
platform. There needs to be more of this, you know, and so
absolutely.
That's where I think that comes from. But I definitely don't think it's coming from in our homes and with our black men. I don't think that's – I think across the board, just as black people, you know, a lot of times we feel like if I say this, that this is the way I'm going to not even be retaliated, but this is the way I'm going to be viewed. So we have to be politically correct, and we, you know, we have to – you know, kind of sometimes, well, we don't have to, but some people feel like they have to mask the way they really feel. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I disagree with that. You know, and that's why I say you have to own our truths and self-examine ourselves.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
well,
figure out where we are and where we want to be. Exactly.
Well, from a domestic violence point of view, you know, mm-hmm. looking from the eyes of a domestic violence advocate, it's a huge relief to hear that. You know, that it's not just,
yes.
you know, within the family unit that
oh,
it's
no,
more,
not at all.
Good.
No, not at all. No, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, with the, I mean, I'm a huge advocate of, you know, of trying to stomp out domestic violence as well. And so
mm-hmm.
I know that that exists, you know, not just in black communities, but in all communities. But
oh,
but,
absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
But it definitely is not something I don't want to overlook it, because that definitely has a presence as well. But,
right.
You know, when we're talking about people as a whole, there's just, like I said, I know, you know, there's times I have went to different events or workshops and people not know who I am, and because I'm not I don't walk around and say, well, I'm Rose Smith and I'm this. Titles don't mean anything to me, and people will talk to me or they'll treat me a certain way, and then soon as they introduce me and I go up and I speak, and then the people that were standing right next to me that wouldn't even give me eye contact, wouldn't shake my hand, wouldn't say anything to me after I speak and come back, then they're coming over, oh, I didn't realize you were. You know,
oh,
and it's kind of like, you know, you're a day late and a dollar short. You know,
exactly.
Why could you just not acknowledge me because I'm a human being and we're standing next to each other, you know. So it's
exactly.
Like that person just told me everything I need to know about them. And, so it's those type of things that we need to get better at, you know. Like, and that's what I mean by meeting people where they are. You know, I was raised in a household that when you walk into a room, you walk into a home, whatever, you speak,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we call it in the Black. You speak to people, you acknowledge them. Hello, how are y'all doing today? You know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you do. And it perturbs me when people just walk and won't say a word to anyone. It's like you're not even there. You know, you don't matter. You know, and this is a true story. In one of my jobs in corporate America, I had a gentleman that for, I don't know, probably the first week or so of me being employed there, I'd walk in every morning and I'd say good morning and he'd never say a word. Now, he and I were the only two people in the room. He would never acknowledge it, never say. And so after the first, and I thought about it, I prayed about it, I said, okay,
yeah.
I said, okay, I'm thinking, is he hard of hearing? I thought about everything, you know, that could possibly be. So that one day I walked in, and when I said good morning, I kind of touched him on the shoulder, and he kind of jumped like I scared him. And
mm-hmm.
I said, good morning. And he just looked at me, and he said, good morning. Like, you know, kind of sarcastic. And I said, I've been thinking about this. I tell you good morning every morning, and you never acknowledge that I'm even speaking to you. And I wanted to make sure that you were hearing me. And so he goes, oh, I'm just not a good morning person.
Right.
And I said, okay. I said, so could you have not told me that than to just ignore me for a week? And, you know, so it's just those type of things that we have to communicate. You know, dialogue
right.
is so important, you know, because had you said, well, I'm not a good morning type of person, I would have came in, sat down, and went to work and caught you in the afternoon. You know what I'm saying? Like, how you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that just, you know, so we have to, and so I'm one of those people that I just try to acknowledge people because we never know when our hello, our handshake, our smile, our acknowledgement of someone else is going to change their day for the better, you know. And so I'm just, it's the small things that matter in life. And we get so busy looking for the big things that we miss all the small things that really can make a difference.
Absolutely. And dialogue is the whole reason why we're doing this, you know, to
yes.
increase the dialogue, to open up the dialogue for more conversations, you know, because we all want to be heard, bottom
yes.
line. And,
absolutely.
You know, if we have those dialogues, which is why those small groups are so important. Oh,
yes.
They're just amazing. I can't speak
yes.
highly enough, you know. And speaking of which, that event is going to be here in Austin on March 14th, and it's going to
That's
be at
correct.
The Doubletree Hotel, correct?
Doubletree
this
Hotel,
year?
Yes.
That's oh, my gosh.
Correct.
And you had such a smaller place last time. It's going to be
yes.
so amazing to
yes.
have
yes.
extra
and
elbow
last
room.
Year was Right. Last year it was attended by 200-plus women. It has
yeah.
and that's been our numbers for the couple years we've been doing it. This year we're expecting a lot more. And like I said, that's why we needed the more room. And so it's going to be awesome. We have some dynamic guest speakers. Not just guest speakers, but our panel. A panel of people that are, like I said, community activist women that have made a positive change in their own lives and in the community.
Mm-hmm.
These and they will be there, and we will be hearing from them, and I'll be announcing all of those later in the week. we'll also have about 50 vendors, a little bit of every business and you can imagine. Of course, we will have you there doing
mm-hmm.
voters registration. And
mm-hmm.
And I thank you so much for always being there because, again, like I said, our votes matter, our voices matter, and I thank
Absolutely.
You for always wanting to serve and be there. But we're just going to have a great time. And with it being this year it is a South by Southwest alternative event, so
mm-hmm.
we are going to have the program will actually end around 2, and from 2 to 4 there will just be, we will even let the public in to shop and patronize and connect and network with the vendors and different things. So it's definitely going to be a great time. So we're really expecting a huge turnout. People are just buying their tickets, and vendors are coming on board. So we are super excited about it this year. And if anyone's listening that hasn't gotten their ticket to the Desire to Inspire Empowerment Women's Empowerment Brunch, I urge you to do so, because tickets are not going to be available at the door. You can find us on Facebook under Desire to Inspire Women's Empowerment Brunch. You can also purchase your tickets online there. And if you're interested in becoming a vendor, that information is also there, as well as a link for vendor spaces.
And is there a way to get hold of you online outside of Facebook? Not everybody listening has Facebook.
Absolutely. You can email us at roses, and that's plural, club at yahoo.com. I'm sorry, rosesclub2010@yahoo.com. You can email us with any questions or anything, or you can contact us at 512-579-8265.
Great.
Okay.
Well, I thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show. It's such an important thing that you're doing, and it's such an important thing that people understand about and start talking about and having more dialogue about.
Right, exactly. And I just thank you again for inviting me to on the show. It's been a blessing and a pleasure to talk with you this morning. And I just encourage you to continue to do what you're doing, because you're definitely making a difference, and you definitely matter.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And our listeners matter too. You know, and you all to become more involved. Go to Facebook, go to, you can find Domestic Violence Voices on Facebook and on Google+. Get involved. Beyond Words Live is on Facebook and Google+, I believe. I don't check the Google+ as much. but I need to. It's just one person doing this all, and I need to get some other people to help me. I know that. And then I have KravisVoices.com, it's a new blog and has all the websites on there, all the links, and I think I have a link to your event also on there.
Mm-hmm.
If not, I'll double check and make sure that I do, but I think I did.
Okay.
And it has a forum that people could go in there and start talking. I would encourage someone to start doing the dialogue there so that we can get the ball rolling. And
right.
Because it's so important to have dialogue and to do it.
Yes, it is.
Thank you for coming. Please share with others and encourage others. I have plenty of spots open still here in February, and I would encourage, you know, more women to speak up, especially for this month, you know, Black women to speak up and,
right.
you know,
Absolutely.
Highlight their voices this month. And because, you know, not that I don't do it every month, you know what I'm
right.
saying.
Right, absolutely.
But anyhow.
Oh, God.
But anyhow, I'm looking forward to seeing y'all next Saturday. Not this coming Saturday, but next Saturday. No, I'm ahead of myself. Yes. I have to get past February first.
Yeah.
But,
I was like, uh-oh, did I forget to put something on my calendar?
No. It's just me. February is such a busy month for us because doing even ministry training, and we're doing speaker training, and we're doing all kinds of things, all kinds of good things.
Right.
And being involved and being involved at the Capitol and all kinds of things. So get involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
Share your voice. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Have a good day.
You have a wonderful day.
You too.
Take care.
All right.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And thank you, listeners, for joining in. As we said, that there are several guests that we have speaking this week. I have Denise from Dallas. I have, oh my gosh, I can't even remember right now. My mind is racing. Make sure that you tune in. Go to blogtalkradio.com/oral history. You'll see some of the upcoming shows we have this week. It's going to be an exciting week. Encourage other people to sign up for some of the slots that we have this month. And let's make an impact. And always share your voices. Have a good day.